Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Thank you for joining me here on Setting the Record Straight. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. I'm sorry, a whole bunch of things went wrong here just now. My startup audio didn't start, and it's looking like it's starting here on the wall of my studio. And also, my Periscope connection did not go forward. So I apologize for that. But one thing for sure, there is one thing that is still here, and that is me, Brenda K. Sanders. You can hear my voice. You're hearing the real me. That can't be stopped. And there have been attempts to stop my broadcast in the past, but hopefully through some skillful, somebody that can skillfully look and see what's wrong, what's going wrong, and why, once that has taken place, I can entertain you, the listeners, via both Blog Talk Radio call-in and also via Periscope, where you're able to tweet your questions to me. Hopefully that these difficulties will not continue. I am back on the air again, and I just am just so very troubled by the current news events that have been taking place this week and last week. And, of course, you know, I'm now down here in South Carolina, where, you know, the Confederate flag has been an issue. And thank God it's down. Even though, let me tell you, and I'm not here today to really discuss the Confederate flag issue, but riding around down here in South Carolina, the Confederate flag is still very prominently displayed. I see it on grave sites as I'm driving. I see it at basketball games, maybe Little League games. Now, I don't know if they're Little League, but, you know, some, you know, games where I drive by the parks. And I was just recently advised by a cousin of mine, just stopped by my house just a couple of days ago and advised me that they were warning black women that were driving on some of the rural roads out here to be very careful, because they have discovered that there is, they say, more than one truck driver, an eight-wheeler truck, displaying Confederate flag, running women, black women, off the road at night. And so she was advising me to be very careful where I drive, because it could be very, very dangerous. I'm telling you now that that was the official dismounting of the Confederate flag. But as mindsets haven't changed and the behaviors have not changed. And I find it really, really interesting that black women are being targeted here and being run off the road at night by those 18-wheeler trucks, as I said before. And it seems that is an ongoing problem now. We see it very prominently. I believe, a target and victim of it myself. That is, like I've been saying all the time, not only racial harassment, but sexism harassment has also began to, I believe, rear its ugly head in our country. And I don't have to, I guess, repeat some of the sentiments that have been taking place regarding Sandra Bland, and because I know everybody's claiming that they feel like Sandra Bland. And I do. I do at this moment. I feel just as Sandra Bland, and I have been really very, very blessed to still be here to tell about it. I think that that is very important, because some of the victims, like me, that are still living to be spotlighted, so that we will know what to look for when we don't see the hate coming upon or targeting a victim, and when they're dead, that victim cannot speak. But I'm allowed to tell what I have been through. And let me tell you, the harassment is nonstop. I don't have to repeat the story, but those of you who are new to me and don't know me, I was a duly elected judge of the 36th District Court in Detroit, Michigan. And I was a top vote getter in my race, in both races now. I was elected for two terms, only allowed to serve for one when the Michigan Judicial Tenure Commission investigated me. I would think for almost 2 years, just a witch hunt. What kind of gun do you have? What is this? What is that? Just every opportunity in every aspect of my private life. In fact, the investigation went extensively into my private life and did not even touch anywhere, well, a little bit, my professional life as a judge. And none of the misconduct that they were alleging even spotlighted or targeted or was focused on any of my activities as a judge. And I think the reason is clear. I performed my duties as a judge in exemplary fashion. There are dozens and dozens, thousands and thousands and thousands of transcripts that document that. And not only document how I did my job, how my temperance, my disposition in my role as a judge, but also that I followed the law and that I was a fair and objective judge. And so that was never questioned with respect to my conduct as a judge on the 36th District Court bench. But what, let me tell you, what I have alleged, and now I believe it's out there for everyone to see, that I've been the victim of some racial discrimination, some sexual discrimination, some political harassment, because I'm not a judge. First of all, I'm not crooked, never have been. I'm not going to do anything crooked, never have and never have been. And I'm not going to be a puppet for discrimination. I am not and never have been a puppet for oppression. My role as a judge is to serve the people of the city of Detroit, which I did do. And I was a very fair judge. I put people in jail when I had to, and I did my job. But it wasn't to the satisfaction of the Michigan Supreme Court. Now, let me tell you something. They don't count because they don't vote for me. The people of the city of Detroit do vote. And so those were the people that I was there to serve, and I believe I served them quite well. And so because I was not a judge that pounded everybody and made them lose their jobs, I was a stickler for not causing a one-time event to lose their job and lose their home and lose their family. I was very particular about preserving the criminal, the clear criminal history of a defendant if he had one or two offenses, so that he can continue to work and maintain his family, but not become a burden on society. And that was frowned upon by the Michigan Supreme Court. And so a number of things, and labeled and branded as a liberal moron. And so, as you know, the Michigan Supreme Court is a majority in the court. And I was a target, basically, to conservatize the court system. How outrageous. How ridiculous. We're not doing anything right now, but putting people in jail, causing them to lose their homes, causing them to lose their jobs, causing them to have criminal convictions where they will not be employable in the future. And I was not about that, even though if someone came before the court And I was shown that they were worthy of being incarcerated. I did my job at every turn. And I often did it where I saw multiple offender cases for a defendant. I thought, sure, why not put them in jail? Apparently they've not learned their lesson. And said, with all fairness, I also failed to jail, to incarcerate witnesses in cases, in criminal cases, in any case. I believe that any witnesses that came forward before the court should voluntarily come before the court and not be forced in any way. I did not believe in coercing any way. And so I believe that was frowned upon. It was a practice that apparently, I understand, was regularly used by other judges in the court, and I differed in that respect. The 36th District Court is housed and situated in the city of Detroit, and its jurisdiction is the city of Detroit. And for some reason, you know, I have it on my Twitter page, this article from Inside Edition, where it's entitled, and I'm not going to go into the names of the judges there, but they're all prosecutor judges, and that's what the Michigan Supreme Court desires for the judicial bench in Michigan. And it be as close as possible to a prosecutor judge, that toughest judges in America are coming from the Michigan Judicial Court bench. Well, it's no wonder I was unfairly, illegally, corruptly removed from the 36th District Court bench. Because the practice now is to jail defendants. I understand Judge David Robinson has a steady practice of if a defendant comes to court, does his duty, and appears before the court, and pleads guilty, shows up timely and answers the charges brought against him, even for minor traffic offenses or misdemeanor offenses, they are jailed if they don't bring the money. And so that person is jailed immediately, and that has an immediate harsh effect on that person's life. What happened? They have a criminal record. They are jailed. They lose their job, and that causes a loss with their family or whatsoever, or whatever. And then that person is basically eliminated as a person that's going to contribute to society and maybe perhaps shipped up north and never seen again. And I've learned that this is a common practice, and that, it's just defeating any black population in the city of Detroit. And that's just one of the practices. Why are the toughest judges sitting in an urban setting and being used, these Afro-American judges now, prosecutor judges, being used to jail a significant number of black population in the city of Detroit? We just, even though I'm not a judge anymore, we should fight, be prepared to fight against this type of judicial cleansing, as it were, from people that are running for the 36th District Court bench. Apparently, they do not have the interest of the city of Detroit in their mind. It is about getting money, clearing the black population out of the city of Detroit. It is a widespread practice on the bench. We should be about the business of addressing those things. We should be about the business of addressing it and taking care of those things and protesting, standing up in protest against
their practices. And this is what we need to do because, you know, we are going to suffer. I have suffered. I've paid a price for raising my voice against injustice. I paid the price. And so in my next broadcast, I'd like for you to call in, tweet in on Periscope, and, you know, just give me questions. There may be questions you want to ask. Raise concerns that you have about the judicial system. And so that we can talk about it. I mean, we must first talk about it. I've already suffered the loss of almost everything. But I'm not defeated, and I'm not done protesting against an unjust system. We're not living in South Africa. We're not under apartheid rule yet. Although, if we don't raise our voices, we will be. So continue to focus on these things. We see them in the news. We see black women who, you know, are not prostitutes, but black women who have something, like Sandra Bland, being killed systematically, I say, organized. And then no one is there to answer for their death. Who's been there to answer for my illegal removal from the 3664 then? No one. We have the Attorney General of the United States. We haven't heard from her. Oh, yes, I did. I did hear from her. I have to tell you about that next time. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll see you on Monday. I'll talk to you on Monday. Hopefully, I'll have these difficulties cleared. And I hope to see you then. Be blessed.